this channel one over. This channel went over in the beginning of that marvelous long visit with Mr. and Ms. Gilbert, in which I use a system. It's in three parts. I find them out in the picking. I thought they were on the porch. I hoped they were. I expected to find them on the porch, and they were out picking mulberries. I didn't even know they had a mulberry tree arbor. In the most neighborly situation, and we talk and pick mulberries. Muscadines, I mean. Then Mr. Gilbert takes me on the plantation. He did that once before, that tour of his. And then we settle down, this time out close to the car, for some talk. And it is talk in the old kind, manner.
Somebody out on the porch. I just thinking I'd come up there and say I expect to see somebody on the porch. Nobody on the porch.
We better get these before it comes a big wind and blows them all off.
I know it. They're beautiful.
Right for making jelly.
Oh, they're beautiful.
I made a bunch of it up the other day. I might as well get what there is today because it's going to be
stormy weather.
Stormy weather, I'm afraid, over the weekend.
Now you pull them, they little green?
Yeah, just about like this.
Oh,
just when they're starting to turn, yeah.
As long as they turn
into a little bit of red on them.
These don't get real black. When they get real black, they fall off.
It's a red,
that's a little ripe right there, isn't it?
It's more of a red grape, really. It's not a black grape.
Oh, yeah. So you can't go entirely by the...
No, not by the color of them.
They're red.
Yeah, they're
just yellow.
As long
as they're red?
Well, my
mate
the other day, I had...
Turn?
Yeah.
I think you
all
just started.
Yeah, we just came out. Oh, golly. When I walked out here, I seen just that little blow last night. And knocked off quite a few, so we were going to wait and do it in the morning, but it might be pretty easy by morning.
Oh, you mean...
Can't tell.
Now, how about these right here? You left them.
Yes, I thought I'd leave those. If we don't get them all, there might be one or two there that's all
right.
These are
beautiful. I've never
seen them. Well,
you know, in picking figs, I noticed over there, they complain when I let them get a little too ripe. She says they'll ruin all the rest of them.
Uh-huh.
Well.
Yeah, lots of figs good, yeah.
Yeah.
What a bunch of figs.
Got the jam.
All yours, all right, a little brown turkey figs. Huh?
I guess they are. I guess they are. Little brown turkey figs. Now, are these on the ground any good?
I don't know. Some of them might be.
The green ones no good, are they?
No, I wouldn't put them.
Golly.
Well,
I've
got that
for tonight. It blew off during the night?
No, just before dark last night. We had a pretty good little wind up here. I don't know about y'all over there. When it was thundering so bad.
Oh,
we
yeah.
No rain, but we got the wind out of it.
And I wondered where that come from.
Yeah.
What's that music guy here over here, Mr. Gilbert?
That's Bert here.
And I tell you, they ain't bothered them either.
See, that is a snake.
And the birds won't come within a mile of that place.
Is that right? Well, I'll be damn burned.
But those hands are the things, you know, and then when the wind gets to blowing, boy, they rattle.
Yeah.
Scares them away, boy, they don't touch nothing.
Yeah.
You ever see so many grapes on the
river? No, sir. I never did. You're all going to be busy all morning just picking them up.
Well, we haven't had, we've got lots more, but they're not bearing yet. But who'd ever thought they were going to make anything like this?
I never saw this many.
I never thought used to do it.
I never saw anything like this.
Me too.
I've been trying to find out. I got Rick, and he wasn't doing no good in this section of the country, so I got these. But I hit the jackpot when I got these.
Well, how'd you run into these?
I ordered them. Hastings. These are magoons.
Yeah.
Self-pollinating.
Yeah. Well, you think that helps?
What?
Self-pollinating?
Yeah, no, it does. Otherwise, you'd have to, if they wasn't, you'd have to get another vine, male vine, to pollinate them.
Yeah. Had some bees?
I don't want no damn bees. Me and the bees don't get along good together.
If I went through a season without getting stuck several times, I don't know if I'd be like I'd been through the season. Go.
I was up to Monco's one time. He said, "Yeah, but he had a lot of bees up there." He says, "I believe there's some honey up there. Is you good hand to rob bees?" I says, "No, I ain't." But I says, "I'll help you if you want to rob them." So we went out and smoked them down and robbed them. Got all the honey out. Nobody got stung. And we put the honey in a big dish pan, you know, with the top turned over. I reached down and picked up a pancake in the house. It was a bee round underneath where my finger went, and he popped me. I never fool with him, but what I get stung.
And you just don't care for that, even just a little honeybee?
They make me sick, and all over.
Doubled up, then fine.
Well, I like they got stung to death when I was a little fella. They tell me I don't remember nothing about it. You know, little boys used to wear dresses like girls until they're 3-4 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they went visiting people that had some bees. I got out playing around the beehive. They come out on me and like stung me to death. I reckon that's why I get stung with them now. They hurt me so bad, I don't know. George Hurt.
Yeah. Well, I sure wouldn't fool around with them if they do.
This fella up there in Georgia lives close to me. He'd go to the field haying and pulling fodder and stuff like that. And he wouldn't drink no water while he was out there. He'd wait for to come in.
Well,
he said if you drank water while he was out there, you got too hot and sweated too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's better off if he could go without
a freezer. They take salt. Salt tablets,
and you used to put oatmeal in the water.
Oatmeal?
Yeah.
Is that right?
We used to go on the battleships,
coal barners.
The Christmas trees you got?
Yes, sir, boy.
Well, when in the world did they come from?
Right down there in the woods.
I set them out there.
And get you some little tiny seedlings, a million of them down there. Bring them up here and you'll have Christmas trees forever.
Well, you sure will. Now, they tell me that you can just cut the tops out of that for a Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll grow back again, just pretty as ever.
Oh, yeah?
No.
I don't think it'll ever be as pretty a tree because that tree comes up into a point.
Yeah.
And I don't think if you cut it out, it's ever going to come up in that. It'll make a big tree over. It wouldn't take on the same shape.
Well, you've seen, Mrs. Gilbert, mm-hmm. You've seen that pretty one I got over there. That's out there by the shed.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's high as your house. Oh, yeah. Higher as your house. It was there when I went there.
Yeah. Is there a lot of little seedlings come up under it?
No, ma'am. Yeah.
Well, this one down there in the woods.
It may be because I'm more around it, you know.
Well, that's probably it.
It's right there, where I'm over.
See, this one right here, right at the edge of the woods. You can go down there anytime and get a million of them.
Oh,
you
know,
just maybe it's the only one that goes to sleep or something.
Oh.
But that's one. And most any time, I'll go down there and just get all the time for them. We just bought a pile of them. If one dies, we replace it. They're easier to get to, and of course they grow prettier if they're out roped.
But you get
there,
them all,
so
already good and rooted, don't you?
Yeah. But, you know, we only get them about.
You gotta get them when they're little.
You only get them about 2 inches.
They're kind of hard to get through when you set them up. You don't.
Yeah.
Get them up any size.
It's a little tiny.
And that's common. Like, people think they're getting ahead, you know, if they're getting the bigger.
Yeah,
they're not, though. You got to go to the floor yet
more, huh? I already emptied it.
I got my bucket
in
there
before.
What are you doing? You ain't doing nothing, are you?
Yeah, Mr. Miles was putting them in there, and I already emptied up the pan. Anyway, mister.
He acts like he picked all that's in that
all that's in there, huh?
I think both of you are laying down on the job.
Yeah. We're going to have to advertise jelly for sale.
I think if all the other vines there like this one do, we'll sell great. Just sell them and let them come and pick them.
You want to get started over that hole? You got the bottom of your bucket.
Now you quit. No, Tom, I just talk sorry to you. I make the jelly. This is your job, picking them.
Yes, you just. Well, I'll declare. I'll declare. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jelly, too, the other day. Crap about it.
Well,
you just get the heck out of here and I'll make it. And boy, I couldn't do nothing right. I was going to get started. She got in and I said, well, I'll get the heck out of here then.
On my hand,
and
I just got back to the doctor.
I
thought I should put
them
in the water.
But
the doctor
didn't say
anything.
Yeah.
Only
positively not feed any
fruits,
fresh fruits, and no vegetables.
That's 2 weeks.
So he's seen her again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'd eat a lot of fruit. I was eating lots of fish, fresh fish, and
yeah.
And it was too much acid is what he thought it was.
Yeah.
And I guess it is, because it's about cleared up now. So I'll get to the 25th then, before I have to go back. But I'm sure it'll all be gone by that time.
Yeah, you find out what it is and doctor it. And
yeah. Well, I think that's what it is.
Well,
it's hard to do, but all this stuff is locked on. And with all that fruit, too.
You mean you aren't using this season again?
Yeah.
We haven't got
them. It's the wood
seeds
back home.
We buy the frozen.
We buy the frozen when we don't have fresh. But we have fresh people over there. If you go out the back door, there'll be a right thing on the ground and pick it up and eat it.
Yeah. Is that what you call sand?
They're not like
all I heard people, they say, them little sugar pears, I don't know what they are.
No, it's not like
them.
Big nothing
like
that.
Well, I thought you all picked these darn things up in here.
Well, I'll go over here.
What's the matter with you?
I was picking in there,
I could never see where I was getting ahead.
Well, I thought somebody...
I got out here again.
I thought somebody picked over
here,
Ms.
Gilbert. Yeah, uh-huh.
That's the first thing, isn't it?
That's what I thought, too.
Well, that's
too.
Fine.
See?
Well, Mr. Gilbert, I guess they have a saying about that and about everything, but the first time I got into a cucumber field, I come along behind some pickers and looked at me like that and picked a roll.
That's right.
And the fella, you know, the colored fella, but they were good, and they didn't leave them. And he said cucumbers were like that. He said you just couldn't get all of them.
Oh,
that
cucumber, that's
something.
We got a big field of them.
You
never
see
them.
Caught up.
Was arguing about planting corn.
The
old guy says, well, I always plant my corn on the dark nights, dark of the moon. And the other old guy, he says, I always plant mine dark nights, too. That's city boy was standing there. You know, I said, well, how in the world can you see to paint it in a dark night? He said, we just hang a lantern on each one of the mules. He worked on that.
Fred said you told
him. Just get in here and look up and you'll see a million.
Yeah, Fred said you told him something down there. He didn't tell me what it was.
Oh, what is today? Early this week or last week? It was right amusing.
Yeah.
And I come by up here one day to find out what it was. But you was busy.
Tell you what it was?
No.
Well, he's told so many, probably can't remember. He didn't even tell you what it was about?
No, you know how Fred is.
Yeah.
A customer will come in or something and he'll get off on something else, so. You kind of have to follow him around and say, now, what was it you said, Fred?
Well, no telling. It was the one Miss Ferguson told you, but don't tell it now. It could have been that one. Because usually any new jokes come up, he tells them. She was over here and told one, so I figured maybe that was it.
Oh.
I went to call it, but let them keep
it. Yeah, they'll keep it.
Yeah.
What's the name of these, Mr. Gilman?
Magoon.
Magoon grapes?
Yeah, they're in the Scuppernong family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're not a bunch.
They're not a bunch of grapes.
They're almost.
They're almost a bunch. There's big bunches of them.
Yeah.
The
but
story.
They're really not a bunch of grapes. They're
close. Hello, tonight.
My cousin was here a while back, a couple of weeks ago, and she said they did that at home, and she said the birds never bother them.
Well, these things here?
The hose. Black
hose. Oh, the hose, snake.
Yeah. They look just like a black snake from, you know,
yeah,
up in the air there.
Try it. They got a owl, stuffed owl on the market. They say you can stick up on your fruit trees or grapevines, keep the birds away too.
Uh-huh.
Well, they probably do.
Oh,
If this works just as well, I don't
think. Crows will give them a fit sometime.
The owls.
Yeah. Hawks too.
I don't see so many owls now.
Hey, used to be a lot of them around here. They'd get in these trees around here and they'd talk to one another and carry them all night. Once in a while they come around yet, but not like they used to. When we first come up here, ain't nobody lived in this house for a while. Darn thing could get up on the house, walk around on the roof of the house. Wah, 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 wah.
All night long.
Yeah.
Is it
an hour? Yeah. Well, I think that's enough, Mom. Every time I look around here, well, I see a couple more.
Yeah, I see them up top.
But I got a bucket full.
Just look at what you got instead of what you haven't got.
Well, I guess I'll have to pull off my shoes and wash my feet before it starts tromping knees to bust them.
Yeah, you better not get caught.
No, that's what they say.
Yeah,
you gotta chomp them.
Make wine.
Bust the hulls on.
To make wine, but this is not wine.
Yeah, I told her I was going to make some wine out of the last part of this. She said, you ain't going to make no wine. I guess I'll have to buy my wine then, huh?
Well, you'd have homemade jelly and bottled wine.
Yeah. You ready to go?
Well.
You got both containers full.
Yeah.
Boy, you did do something after you dumped them up last time, didn't you?
Yeah, I dumped them.
Looked like you got some green ones. Now, them green ones is hard to bust.
They're not.
There's one you can hardly bust it. Look at that.
Are you trying?
Huh?
Kind.
Yeah. Oh. These here, that's trying like that, they're bust easy, see that?
Yeah. If you take one of these little knotty green ones, they won't bust at all, I guess.
Oh, they're hard to bust. You just press on it.
See that?
There's one that looked green. See, and it busted easy because it's got red on it.
Yeah, it had a little bit of red.
Well, them green ones.
Well,
you don't bust them.
What's going to be here now will be here till Monday, so.
I can grab them up a handful before they're ripe, see, and squeeze them together and bust them.
Yeah.
You get a green one in there, you know it.
Yeah.
Is that one of your peach trees there, and this another one? Wait, you've had peaches?
Yeah, this one here. Them two there is ones that had the peaches on. This one had quite a few on it, but this is a different kind of peach. This is the one that first one that I got, and it didn't do nothing. Well, this year it had quite a few peaches on it. It has a big peach oblong. But them there are smaller, but they're the Florida sun. They really had them on there. I don't know, it's something I think that one's got diseased or something. I'm going to have to work around it and do something to it. That other one's healthy. It put a lot of growth. See, this one ain't put no growth out.
This one here?
Yeah.
Is it old that one?
That one, same, set out same time. Same kind of peach. Well, that one out there, look at the growth it's put on. I got to cut about half of that out just for when you get, yeah.
Did you have a, huh?
This one here, them branches was right down on the ground. I had to prop them up. They were full of peaches.
Yeah.
They were so full, they were smaller than them over there. Them over there is bigger than these.
Oh, this is so full?
Huh?
This one was so full?
Yeah, it was just hanging, loaded. These branches was right down on the ground.
Well, what happened? What happened? Just where you left that.
I gotta cut a bunch of that out in there too.
As long as it does that, you can afford to baby a little bit, a doctor.
That one there, that one looked kind of like that in there for a couple of years, but now,
see, it's put out growth this year, it's looking healthy.
Yeah, so it may come on and be all right.
Yes, sir. You got a water bucket full.
Yep.
And there's plenty more left on the vine.
I don't know. 8 pints one day and 7 pints another day. I don't know.
You really got the fruit, Mr. Gilbert. Look at here. Here at your back door, you got this big pear tree.
I never really had the pears on it this year.
Yeah. And that's how she got the rash, just eating too many pears.
There you are, Ma.
Anything, tell her not to give me anything.
Mr.
Gilbert, I can't eat it. No, ma'am. Well, this is pretty, and I'll just take it with me.
Oh, here.
Yeah.
Somebody over there don't enjoy it. Because we're not even going to can anymore.
Oh, aren't you?
We've already done about 30
or
40 jars. Besides the pear butter, and I can't.
Yeah.
I'm out of jars now, and I'm not going to buy any more. By the time I get through with all these. And
show him one of them big pigs you got.
Yeah. Show me one of them
pigs. He ain't got no pigs that size, I know.
No, these are just. They are good. If a person likes pig.
Oh,
look at that. Look at that. Look at that. No. Now that's.
Now the little brown turkey like you got them too, they're for eating, but these are canned.
They eat good.
They're good when they're soft. But they don't have the flavor, I don't think, of the little brown turkey.
Yeah.
Then, but when you make preserves and jam and stuff with them.
Tree.
Yeah, and I'll show you this.
The tree looks just alike, but the fruit looks different. Now we go on that tour of the plantation.
It gets a little bit too far from my home base, and the voice is clear, but it's not much volume. That is the tour of the plantation, and I won't tape that.
Kind of staked them up and held them up. I can't grow no tomatoes here. They all get white spots on them. When they grow volunteer, well, they're all right.
How about that?
Tomatoes scattered around in there.
Yeah,
I pulled the ripen off there last night.
Still blooming too.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them down under there.
Yeah. No way. Come up later, it's starting to put on too.
Sure you made a find, huh?
But if you set them out, they get the price right.
That must have been a good place there, Mr. Gilbert, where
well,
you took up
where
that old
ashes
tree.
Well, that's where the ashes burnt that old tree up there, you know, and it killed all the grass.
Yeah.
Saving some... a piece of corn down there.
Well, that'll put him in business, won't it?
We made up a bunch of jam off these loquats. Tastes pretty good.
Yeah.
These are little brown turkeys here. And,
make my sack over here before I forget it. But I sort of take off a big sack of fruit.
Somebody over there might eat them. If you don't like them, your wife might eat them, but somebody comes in and might eat them.
Yeah.
Enjoy the visit. And if you remember that story that Fred talked about,
that's what it was. These guys just got married, see? And they went to a motel and got a room. And this was way back, you know, in the gaslight days when they had gas lights.
Yeah.
And they went to bed. And this old girl, instead of turning the gas off, she blowed it out, see?
Yeah.
So, hey, long after a while, this guy, he, like, suffocated. He got up and raised the window and stuck his head out the window. Some people come by and seen him there, won't know what's made. I don't know, so they smelt the gas, see, come the other way, didn't know what was wrong. So they called the fire department. They run in there and bust the door down. And went in there, and this girl was laying on the bed, all ass naked, see. And the fireman seen it, you know, she run and jumped up in bed, straddled her, you know, with her knees on each side of her, and got her arms and gave her artificial respiration, you know. And this old boy, he pulled his head in out the window and said, says, for God's sake, don't do that. Says, you get her stirred up, says, we'll all pass out.
Oh, shoot. Now, where'd that come from, Mr. Gilbert?
Miss Ferguson told me that one.
Oh, is that the one she told me? That's right.
She was sitting on the porch the other day.
Yeah.
She told me that. She said, now, says, I don't know who you'll like to hear the story. She says, this is a kind of a dirty story, but says, ain't a dirty word in it.
Yeah.
Old lady Corker.
Is that right? I don't know her.
She's down here. She's over there. Lived all alone with that grandson of hers. He was over there before he went in the army. He was over there, stayed with, you know, working on the game with him. Well, one morning she's going to have some, blueberry muffins. And she told him, says, light the oven off. She was busy doing something, you know. So that kid, he didn't know nothing about light the gas oven off, you know. He turned it on and he messed around, you know. Said, Grandma, says, this shit oven didn't come on. Says, well, never mind. Says, I'll get it. So he didn't turn the gas off. It was still on, you know. And she didn't think to look at the gas, you know. She got out there and threw the match in there, and boy, it blowed the door open and blowed her up against the wall. I'd kill the old lady. And she liked to have heart failure, too. She liked passed out. She'd always had to tell me about it. And I said, well, that's bad. She says, you know, Miss Gill, says, that's one time, says, I thought the old devil had me.
Nah, I'm not
I thought the old devil had me.
What did he do?
He was connected with the oil industry, checking these pumps, you know, and stuff like that. I think he retired from the oil company. And he's a pretty good mechanic.
Oh, was he? He died 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He was good people. He used to come over here and shoot the breeze on me. I'd stop out there and talk to him.
Yeah.
He had a Cadillac car. Had it for several years. One day he come in a Buick. Ferguson, I said, you kindly stepping down, aren't you? Going from Cadillac to Buick. Push button, it was in the wrong place on that one. That's all he said about it. It was in the wrong place on that one.
How about that?
Well, she got that car out there. She traded Buick off and got this Pontiac. And I asked her, didn't you like that Buick? She said, no, I didn't like that Buick. She said that this way the seats come up, that hurt her legs. And she went shopping. And she would get in different cars and find, she didn't get none that suited her legs till they run into that one, and that's rounded off in front. And as soon as she got in there, she says, then she don't want to get out because that one suits. She says, well, this is the one I want. That's the way she bought a car, the one that fit her legs.
How about that? Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, they'll look over a car and get all of the paraphernalia and look them over when they run around and they'll kick guitars and...
Yeah.
Was comfortable to her legs, so this is the one I want.
You know, the best car I ever had was an old station wagon, and the front seat made you feel like you're sitting on a bench.
Yeah.
You know, them old wood benches they used to have at church, schoolhouse. That's exactly the way it is. But that thing was just made out of leather. It just wouldn't wear out. And it just did all sorts. Even with me driving.
Well, the toughest car I ever had was a 19 model Chevrolet coupe. It had them half springs in front. I don't know if you ever seen one.
Yeah.
It had that 490 motor in it.
Yeah.
And that rode just like a log cart. Well, he's out on highway like these here, he ride all right, but you know, on the ordinary road, it just rode like a darn log cart.
Yeah.
But, that darn thing would run. It's just like driving a mule, you know, and getting in a pull, like the mule would lay his ears down and just go on. That thing would get down to about 25 miles an hour going up them hills and just struggle. But you get it on top of a darn mountain. I did. I tried it. And go down, just floorboarded, see? And that darn thing just wouldn't turn over more than 45 miles an hour. That's as fast as it'll go.
It just gives it pull.
Yeah.
Fine.
I drove it from New London, Connecticut to Norfolk, Virginia. We got out in New Jersey there and it rained. Oh, God, it rained. And the water in places was running up to your running board. It had that old wooden running board out on the side, you know. It's running up to there. And a lot of them big cars, you know, there's a pull over the side, drown it out, they couldn't move. That darn thing is blowing the water. It ain't drowning out the first time.
Yeah.
I was kindly in love with that old car.
You hate to let a car like that get away from you.
Yeah. Didn't have no mat in the front of it. Had wooden floorboards, you know.
Yeah.
I was coming down right this side of Baltimore. Kindly downgrade, and there was a junkyard on the right. And it wasn't making much speed. I happened to look down through the cracks in the floorboard and I seen the tie rod drop off. Well, it was headed for the shoulder, so I just let it roll until I got clear of the pavement, put the brakes on to stop. Went over and asked the guy if he had a tie rod that was gone. And Chevrolet out there, he said, I think there's one on old car. I gotta look to see if he get through here. He's busy with something else. So he went over and took one off and brought it over and put it on there. And he didn't put no oil on it. He tightened it up. It's tight. I would like to wore blisters on my hands guiding that darn thing from Baltimore to Norfolk. And I said, well, there must be something wrong with this. I got under there with the oil can and oiled up. She worked fine. I said, well, darn, I cussed that guy. We're not putting a little oil on it.
Oh. That's amazing. Well, the oil.
Yeah.
Do it.
Well, you know, I trade that in for a 28 Chevrolet coupe. And, he allowed me, I paid $125 for it. I bought it second hand. He allowed me $125 on it.
Yeah.
On a new car.
Yeah.
So, come down there one day with a feller, a serviceman in the Navy, and he was going to go and leave down in Alabama someplace. He brought him down there to see me to see if he thought that car would run to Alabama and back. I said, man, that car will run clear around the world and back. So he went ahead and bought it, and he went on leave to Alabama, and he says, didn't even have a flat tire or nothing down there and back. And he was sold on a Chevrolet, then he traded then, they allowed him $75 on it on a new Chevy. They come down there one day after that, he's looking for that car. I said, well, I don't know, I haven't seen it down here on the base anymore. He said, well, it's down here somewhere. He says, the guy traded it in the other day, and we allowed him $25 on it on a new Chevy. And said, we're just going to junk it anyhow. It was a junk price. But says we wanted to get it. So they never did find it. I don't know what happened to it. Somebody must have run it off the dock or something.
Yeah.
That was the end of the Chevy.
Yeah. I wonder what did happen to it.
I don't know.
Somebody just drove it off.
Yes.
When was that, Mr. Gilman?
That was back in 1929,
30. That late? When did you quit driving mules, mostly?
Oh, I quit driving mules.
You just a boy?
No, I drove mules up until 1941. After I come out of the Navy, I come out on a 16-year bill. I was out about 10 years, and I was farming. I had some mules, and I had some mares. I had the prettiest little team of strawberry-roan mares you ever seen.
Where were you?
In Georgia.
When did you come out in 19?
I come out in 1931. I was 16.
Yeah.
I was out about 10 years and I called back, so I'd done a little over 4 more years active when
during
I called
the war.
Back World War II.
Oh. So in the meantime, you did some farming?
Yeah.
Well, you was grown then.
Huh?
You was a grown man then.
Yeah.
When you done your farming.
Yeah, well, I done farming when I was a kid. Farmed when I was 11 years old, on up till I was about 17.
Yeah. Is that when you were going? No. What happened to you then?
Were you 16 or 17?
Yeah.
Oh, I worked around one thing or another. I started then to be a machinist. I worked over at the little furnace over Hannery Flats in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I went over there and I helped to repair it. It had been out of commission for several years, and we had to reline all the stoves and the furnace and generally repair it all over. Then we started up and making cast iron pigs.
When did
I had a machine shop after we opened up and got going. But before that, I was running a little steam hoist engine, hoisting mortar and bricks up in the stoves to line them and into the furnace.
Yeah.
Every time I'd move a scaffold up, I'd go slow and hoist that up there till they holler blue. Then I'd put a mark on my cable. So hoisting that stuff up, I'd run it fast till I seen that coming up there, and I'd slow up. So sometimes, like, I was a kid, you know, I like to run things fast. Sometimes ADL up there, they'd go knock the scaffold out.
Yeah.
I don't know, I never did.
Well, you didn't
want
to
do it. But I had a good drag there with a shop foreman and a good drag with a superintendent. The old big boy, he had a son there, he was on the damn switch engine. He used to come way out around, look out mountain to the main tracks, you know, and bring that ore and coal and coke in, see?
Yeah.
Well, this damn devil, he was like
Casey Jones. He'd go out around there and get that thing rocking, you know, on the darn spur track. He'd tear all the petcocks off the surface. He kept shop for him just about busy, keeping his petcocks put on it, keeping the engine up. Of course, he wasn't firing enough because he was a big boy. He didn't like me. He hated me every time. Hated to see me not doing nothing.
Yeah.
So the shop foreman and the master mechanic both, you know, the family used to look out for him. I'd drive with them if they seen him coming, so here. That meant for me to hide. Well, I had pretty good there. I had the drill press and had the nut and bolt machine and had a pipe machine and had the shaper. That was my. I was all right. I was on the way to being a good mechanic.
When did you get in the Army?
Oh, I got in the Army. I done a ditch in the Navy before I got in the Army.
I mean the Navy.
Yeah. I went in 1913.
Yeah. So you had a right smart background already when you got in there, didn't you? In machinery and in handling animals?
Oh, the old... Yeah. I was shifted over into Camp Sevier, Greenville, South Carolina then. This old Hickory Division, Nashville, Tennessee was out, Tennessee outfit, National Guard. Well, we were supposed to be cavalry, but before we got any horses or anything, they done away with the cavalry and they made a heavy machine gun outfit out of us. So they sent us over to the quartermaster's supply to draw mules one afternoon. We went over there. We got about 15 mules, I think, just for pack mules. Packing, you know, to pack the machine guns on.
Uh-huh.
We got one little old blue mule there, one of these little footed slimmers. She was so nervous, boy. We could handle her because she's little, but we got one big horse mule, big sorrel there. He was a man. He'd kill you. He didn't watch him.
Yeah.
Well, the quartermaster, when we got him, he says, "You better turn that mule back in." I said, "There's been two or three people that already drawed him, and they couldn't take him home, but they had to turn him back." He says, "Well, the 114th Machine Gun Battalion ain't never tried to take him home, have they?" Said, "No." Said, "Well, we'll take him. Says, that's what we want, good strong mule." Well, we took him home. Oh, you couldn't curry him, boy. He'd fall at you, bite at you.
And yeah.
We had a big corral there made out of big logs, oh, you know, put up, you know, all around there, nothing to get out.
Yeah.
And we had them stalled, had a hold on him, tied up in the stall. So we could kindly go in the other stall and untie him and make him back out and water him, see? One morning, we went out there, and he got loose. He broke the holder and didn't have nothing on him. He got out in that corral there. The old fella out there was on the corral line. I was sent out there to help him because I had a bum foot. He wouldn't let me hike anymore. So. He said, "Well, we haven't gone catching, Gil." I said, "Well, that's easy. We'll get it." One of them big grass ropes about the size of your arm. I made a running noose over it and I hung it over his stall, see? That's the only thing now we got to do is to run him in there, and when he sticks his head through here, I'll pull that up on him. So we run him in there and I slam back on it. Boy, he went up in here and he come out of there running. Well, there's a big pine tree in the corral, see? So as he went out around that, I went on the other side of the tree with a rope in my hand and as he chased me, I went around the tree and kept on till he wound up. I wouldn't give him no slack. I held it all in tight till he wound himself up and he pawed up in the air to paw me, see? When he did, why, his feet weren't hitting the ground no more. He's hanging by his neck up there. And I told him, I said, "Go ahead and put a halter on him now. Hurry up before he chokes you down." He got a halter on him. And I sliced up, boy, and that mule, he hit the ground, a plop. He lay there a few minutes. I hope he had a
killed him. You're right.
He come too.
Yeah, he come too. Oh, we went out there, we went to sharing them mules up there. Boy, I'd hold them, you know, and he'd share them. But he got around pretty good. Got around to the little mule. And just pulled her head up over that top log. And just had to stick her head up to get it over there. And I tied the halter down under the log underneath there. Well, she couldn't do nothing. Well, she could pull her foot, you know, and like that, but she couldn't get up where she could kick, see? So we went and shared her tail, and then he got up on there and shared her up there. We turned her loose. She's all right, so we got the old sorrel mule out there. We couldn't get him up there like that, and he could kick and fight and everything. I said, all right, I says, he won't be that way about it. I just throwed a rope up around his neck, you know, and throwed it around his hind feet, and I yanked it up, and boy, he hit the ground, and I hog-tied him, see, and I sat on his head. He was a ball, and all kind of noise, and the old guy was sitting back there sharing him, he got his tail shirt. He started up on the head, and this captain come down. He was one of these chicken-hearted kind of guys, you know, running saddle horses and stuff like that. Boy, he seen that boy. He lay out there, let that mule up, let that mule up, let it up. Quit marching both of you. And I said, well, we're just about through, captain. Said, lay him up, right now. Okay, so we let him up. That mule never did get shared while I was there. I got transferred right after that. But we worked on him. But that little old mule, an old blue mule there, she was just nervous. You can walk in along the stall alongside of her. We'd curry him off every morning and brush him down. And I'd walk in there, I'd hold the halter in this hand, and I'd work down, you know, and get all the down. I'd reach over there, and I'd get around just about her knees. And she'd stand on trembles, just scared to death, you know. And so she'd try to get on you, but she's so little, you know, you could hold her off of you. But that big mule, you couldn't hold him off, boy. He was something.
Yeah.
Well, they took that little old mule out there. They tried to break him, see? They had a couple of horses there. And they put a saddle on that little old mule, and the guy got on and had the halter rein snubbed up around the horn of the saddle on the horse. And they took out that old mule. He was a bucking boy. He wanted to hit the ground, boy. He was bucking. Every time he'd buck, well, he'd spur the horse, you know, and he'd go and drag him, see, so fast he couldn't buck. And they went out, and I don't know how far they went. They come back, boy, that day. The old mule was all lathered up like it took shaving brush and lathered him, but still a bucking.
Still a bucking.
I believe he'd have died.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they ever got him tamed down or not. I got transferred right after that.
You missed out on all that.
Yeah. Heck with that. I don't want no heavy machine gun out, but that was something.
Jim, I enjoyed the visit.
Okay.
Bye bye. And thanks for the fan. Yes, yeah, she'll get both of us.
This is Visit with Mr. Gilbert on Friday the 15th of August, 69. On Friday the 15th of August, 69, the perfect setting for neighborliness. They were picking grapes on that big, beautiful grape arbor. I didn't know, even know they had. And then he took me on a tour of his plantation. And then he came out and talked. We didn't sit on the porch and talk, but we stood out there by the car and talked. A perfect occasion for neighborliness and good talk. On Friday the 15th of August, 69, this is Channel 1 over around 760. Channel 1 over around 760.